الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحج أشهر معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم Honorable and respected elders, beloved brothers in Islam, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, in His Rahmah, in His Mercy, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala rewards the deeds that a believer carries out with thawab, and the least of it all is times 10, man ja'a bil hasana falahu ashru amthaliha. That person that brings, the literal translation, that person that brings, man ja'a bil hasana, he brings one hasana. Then for him is 10 times that reward. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala multiplies. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Wallahu yudha'ifu liman yasha. Innama yuwaffa as-sabiruna ajrahum bighayri hisab. For those who have sabr, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala continues to give without any account. In other words, infinity. That is the rahmah and the mercy of Allah that we have all understood. On the other hand, another form of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's rahmah, another form of Allah ta'ala's mercy is that Allah commands this ummah to carry out a deed. And sometimes for certain individuals, that deed is not achievable for whatever the reasons may be. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives us rewards for other deeds that are easier, and that reward is equivalent to the very... Some examples in the Mubarak hadith of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, who is the narrator, that he says, once the fuqara'ul muhajireen, the poor from those that migrated from Makkah Mukarrama to Medina Munawwara, they had approached Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they made the statement, Zahaba ahlu dusur bil ujur. Those who are wealthy, they have taken away the rewards. Plural. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marveled at them, then what are you speaking about? So they replied, Yusalloon. Kama nusallu, they perform salat, they make namaz like how we make namaz. Wa yasumun kama nasumu, they keep roza, they fast in the month of Ramadan and otherwise, like how we also fast. So as far as salat is concerned, we cannot supersede them. As far as roza and sawm and fasting is concerned, we cannot supersede them. At this point, we just... One point of reflection, look at Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum's spirit for wanting to acquire the reward from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then they go on and they say, yatasaddaqoon. These wealthy Sahaba, they give out sadaqah. And we cannot give out that sadaqah. And more than likely, we would become the recipients of their sadaqah. And then they say to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa yu'tiqoon, they free slaves. We don't even own these slaves to free. So in those aspects, they far supersede us, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now obviously, to have wealth, that is from Allah Ta'ala. These sahaba were not by the means. So look at the rahmah of Allah, and look at the spirit of rahmatul lil alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, come, I show you a deed, an action. That if you carry out this action, you will far surpass them or anyone else, except if someone carries out the same deed. One would think that one has to do a lot to be equal to those that give sadaqah or free slave. The reward of freeing one slave, by the way, is freeing one's body from the fire of Jahannam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, after each salah, recite 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, 33 times Allahu Akbar. And you will get that reward. Abu Saleh, one of the narrators of this hadith, he says, a little time passed. They say sometimes certain things are federal secrets, and this was the spirit of Sahaba. They spoke about this. So the wealthy Sahaba also learned the prescription. So they also sat after namaz, and they were also now making this Tasbih Fatimi. And the result is that these poor Sahaba came back to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they complained to him saying, Ya Rasulullah, these people are doing the same deed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Now that is the fadl, that is the grace of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala grants that fadl, Allah grants that grace to whomsoever Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala desires. We just take another example very quickly. Our mother, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, once she's sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she makes a comment. She says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the shaheed is that person that passed away, that gives his life in the battlefield for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Aisha, in that case, the shuhada of my ummah will be very few. The shuhada of my ummah will be very few. One is to pluck up the courage to leave one's home and to go out in the path of Allah for qital, for jihad fi sabilillah. That in itself needs a great determination. Then to be in the battlefield and to fight requires spiritual imani strength. It requires physical strength. It requires that courage. And then Allah chooses whomsoever Allah Ta'ala desires for shahada. Sayyiduna Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was known as Saifullah, but Allah Ta'ala didn't accord him that rank. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps this for whomsoever Allah Ta'ala desires. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Aisha, this statement of yours makes it seem as though there will be very few shuhada of my ummah. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her that that person that recites, makes dua to Allah 25 times every day, he repeats, Allahumma barik li fil maut wa fi ma ba'd al maut, 25 times, Allah will give him the reward of shahada even though he dies on his bed. A simple prescription, but of course, one needs to be consistent, there needs to be steadfastness in it. Allahumma barik li fil maut, O Allah, bless me in death, at the time of death. وَفِي مَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ, and in the different stages, after death, there is barzakh, the life in the qabr, then there is hashar, on the day of qiyamah, there will be resurrection, there is going to be accountability in the courts of Allah, we need to pass the sirat, what we term as the pul sirat. So these are different stages. Obviously, Allah Ta'ala blesses a person, that person inshallah will enter Jannah, Allah grant it to all of us. So here again we find the very same process, the very same theme, that there is a difficult ibadah, an ibadah that may not be achievable by one and all, But Allah accords that reward to someone that carries out the lesser ibadat. These are the months of Hajj. And whose heart does not yearn to be at the Baytullah? Whose heart does not yearn to be in Madinah Munawwara? Whose heart does not yearn to make tawaf of Baytullah and to be there at the house of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? One is a yearning, and one is a deed that we may carry out so that Allah Ta'ala will give us that reward equivalent to Hajj. And what is that reward of Hajj? Man hajja lillah falam yarfus walam yafsuq raja'a ka yawmin waladathu ummu. That person who makes Hajj, he is not obscene, he is not sinful, transgressive, then he will return from that Hajj like the day his mother had given birth to him. In other words, sinless. So we find another narration like the first one that was discussed. Sahaba go to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam and they say, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there are those that are fortunate enough to go for Hajj recurring all the time. Then they go out in jihad fi sabilillah. They go out and fight in the path of Allah Ta'ala. O Rasulullah, we are unable to do so. We are unable to do so. And again, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gives the first prescription. You're unable to make Hajj. You're unable to go for jihad fi sabilillah. Then the very simple prescription is 33 times subhanallah, 33 times alhamdulillah, 33 times Allahu Akbar. And in some narrations, after that, cap it with La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. Brothers, at this time we just need to reflect, ponder, after the Fajr and the Asr especially. We are sitting in the masjid. It doesn't take too much of time. After Zuhar, after Maghrib, after Isha, it doesn't take too much of time for us to recite this, but look at the rewards that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala bestows upon us. So whilst we have that yearning heart to be at Baytullah, that yearning heart to perform that Hajj, to be at the plains of Arafat and Mina and Muzdalifah, and to pelt the shaitan, that heart will be yearning. But on this side, we can show our sincerity and our truthfulness to Allah by beginning these, by continuing these ibadat, so that tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, they will count weighty on the scales of justice of Allah Rabbul Izzat in our books of deeds. Then we find in one narration, our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states that that person that performs Fajr Salat, that person that performs the Fajr Salat, and after the Fajr Salat, he sits and he remains seated, making the ibadat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and after the sun rises, the person performs two rakats of Salat. Now for this two rakats of Salat, Imam Tirmizi Rahmatullah Alayhi's narration, he will get the reward of Umrah and Hajj. He will get the reward of Umrah and Hajj. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Tamma, Tamma, Tamma. In other words, a complete Hajj, a complete Umrah. A complete Hajj and a complete Umrah. Now again, we may have our daily routine. It may not be possible for us to sit in the house of Allah Rabbul Izzat. So, but we can, after sunrise, 15 minutes after the sun rises, to perform these two rakats. And by performing these two rakats, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will grant us that reward. So again we find our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showing us simple prescriptions. Sulaiman ad-Darani, rahmatullah alayhi, he speaks about this dunya, the world. And by meaning, by saying dunya and the world, the resources that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has afforded us in this world. Financial rewards, financial resources. On the other hand, Allah has given us physical resources, physical strength. He said the resources of this world can either be a veil or it can be a vehicle. It either can be a veil or a vehicle. What veil? a parda, a veil between us and Allah, Allah Ta'ala save us. That we misuse the resources that Allah has given us. Somebody said it very beautifully, that this dunya has no value in the eyes of Allah. If anything in this world has value, it is time that Allah has given us in this world. Friends, if you use these resources wisely, for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then it will become a vehicle for us to reach Allah. It will become a vehicle for us to recognize Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It becomes a vehicle for us to get closer to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. A person by the name of Yunus al-Maysari, rahimahumullah, he was a great wali of Allah. And Allah had given him, amongst many other ni'mats, one ni'mat of hearing the speech of the people in the qabr, the deceased in the qabr. They called it kashf. So once he goes into the qabrastan, he goes into the cemetery, the graveyard, and he makes the salam like traditionally shown to us by our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Assalamu alaykum ya ahl al-qubur. Yaghfirullahu lana wa lakum. Antum salafuna wa nahnu bil athar. That peace be upon you, O people of the graves. May Allah Ta'ala forgive us. May Allah Ta'ala forgive you. Antum salafuna wa nahnu bil athar. The difference between you and us is this veil of the ground, this dunya. You have already preceded us and we are soon to follow you. That's the difference. We are above the ground and they generally are buried below the ground. There is no difference as far as that is concerned. But going out to the Qabrastan, making this dua, not only do they get the rewards of whatever we recite, but for us, it becomes a muzakkir. Reminder that is the journey that we all have to go through. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he would hear about the Qabr, when he would go to the Qabrastan, then he would cry so profusely that he never cried on any other thing but that. When people would question him, he would say, this is the first stage, the first marhala. If this goes well, then there's hope that everything else will go well after this. Nonetheless, Sulaiman Darani, rahimahumullah, hears this voice from the qabr, and the voice is saying, basharat, bushra lakum, ya ahl al-dunya. May glad tidings be for you, O people of the world, that you people have the opportunity of performing 4 hajj every month. You have the opportunity of performing 4 hajj every month. So he asked, how is that possible? 4 hajj every month? So from inside, the response comes, yes, every week's Jumu'ah is 4 Jumu'ahs in the month. And for each Jumu'ah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives the reward of 1 hajj. Brothers, just one request also. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum used to say that in those days, they used to send the animal, what we call hadi, to the Baytullah to be sacrificed. It was system of those days. Physically, the animal used to be sent with somebody, and then that animal used to be slaughtered in the haram. That person that comes early to the masjid, for whichever salat, that person that comes early to the masjid, is as though he sent his hadi to the Baytullah to be slaughtered. Look at Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So nonetheless, just to complete that conversation that took place, Yunus al-Maysari then asked the person, tell me, out of all the deeds that you had carried out in the world, which deed was most beneficial to you in the eyes of Allah by way of a life that is good in the qabr? So the response comes, nothing more than istighfar. Nothing more than asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Friends, just one hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and amazingly, this is one of the very few ahadith that has been narrated by Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that when shaitan incites a person, obviously shaitan becomes very happy. And shaitan then says that after my happiness, which is very short-lived, he begins to cry. He begins to cry, he begins to wail. He becomes despondent, he becomes depressed. Why is that? Sayyidina Abu Bakr Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, because when a person says two things, La ilaha illallah, when a person repeats this kalima, La ilaha illallah, then whatever effort I have made has been destroyed. And then when a person says Astaghfirullah, he says Astaghfirullah, I lose hope. I lose hope in now inciting. Your friends, the istighfar that we make may seem to be so simple, but it is amongst the greater ibadat that may be of value to us in the hereafter. So then we find in another hadith, our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the discussion is those deeds that will give us the reward of Hajj or Umrah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that that person that makes wudu at home, it is understood when a person comes from the office, comes from the business or from the profession, whatever. But when we're leaving home, then we have facilities at home to perform that wudu. Perform that wudu at home, and in one narration, after performing that wudu, for every step we take, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgives one sin. And for every step we take, Allah ta'ala elevates our ranks. Now by and large, ulama have expressed the elevation of ranks will be in the hereafter. But in this world, that closeness to Allah ta'ala and earning the rida and the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will never ever go unnoticed by Allah Rabbul Izzah. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the person comes to the masjid, he performs that salat, then Allah Rabbul Izzat will give him the reward of one maqbool umrah. In other words, he gets the reward of an umrah when he leaves the masjid and goes back to his house. These are simple as far as practice is concerned. It's a lot that we do and we don't realize that innumerable favors and blessings of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. On this, Hasan al-Basri rahimahumullah used to say that the person that sees to the needs of his Muslim brother, the person that sees to the needs of his Muslim brother, and when we discuss these type of ahadith, it doesn't need to be huge, little meager amounts. It doesn't need to be finance. It can be in any other way whatsoever, in whichever way. Then Hasan al-Basri says, it is better than a hajj after a hajj. In other words, continuous hajj is not comparable to a believer that sees to the needs. That is why our ulama of the past used to write, amongst the niyats that we should make every morning, one is a dua, O Allah, save me from your disobedience. O Allah, keep me away from your disobedience. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very meticulous about making one dua. Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaya kama ba'adta bayna al-mashriqi wal-maghrib. O Allah, distant me from my slip-ups and my errors, like how you've created the distance between the east and the west. That was a dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one is that. And then secondly, O Allah, give me the ability to fulfill your rights and the rights of each and every other individual. And in that, Allah give us the tawfiq that we see to the needs of others. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will bless us. On this, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say that that person that looks after the needs of others is greater in the eyes of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala than going out in the path of Allah for jihad fi sabilillah and that of hajj. So brothers and friends, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Allah ta'ala give us the ability. The journey of Hajj is an arduous journey. Whether that is accepted or not, we make dua that Allah ta'ala accept the Hajj of all the Hujjaj. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept all the ibadat. And Allah ta'ala keep them with khair and afiyat. But on the other hand, what is accepted by Allah will be accepted. But here we find that our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us recurring ibadat that we can continue on a daily basis. And finally, in one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said that that person that looks after the needs of his parents, that person that takes care of his parents, the reward of it in the eyes of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will be the reward of one Hajj. In one narration, there was a person that went year after year for Hajj. And he would not go by conveyance, he would go walking. And on one occasion, he was asleep, it wasn't Hajj, he was at home. And he was now just in that initial sleep of his, something that a person cherishes and enjoys. And his mother, with a very low voice, said, "My son, can you not give me a glass of water?" Now, that person is not in his full senses, he's not fully awake, and in that state, there is a little delay, and then he gets up from his bed, and he addresses himself, that you went for Hajj after Hajj, but you cannot give your mother one glass of water. Is that not ostentation? Is that not riya? Is that not boasting in front of others that we have performed so much of Hajj? So brothers and friends, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us that real yearning, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us and make it such that we make ziyarat of the house of Allah and the rawdah of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam time and time again with iman, with khair, with afiyat, with barakah, and most important, with respect of the Haramain Sharifain. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.